Will the house please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
26 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Tischer is excused from the call of the House today. However, note her presence on the House floor. And, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bussell be excused from the call of the House today, noting that he is ill.
The fact that he is ill excuses him from the call. However, without objection, so ordered. Will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Mark Brocker, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have given the people of Alaska. Keep this state always in your care. We ask a special blessing for the leaders of our state, especially our representatives here assembled. Give them the wisdom and strength they need to serve their fellow Alaskans faithfully. They face many difficult and confusing issues, and we know that they can never act with complete certainty in any matter. Nevertheless, we trust that you will correct them when they go astray and guide them in the way of truth and justice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 141st Legislative Day and House-Senate Joint Supplement number 25.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 141st day and House-Senate Joint Supplement number 25.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 141st Legislative Day and Joint Journal Supplement number 25 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are the guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
There's two messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker. One is regarding the veto on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 106, State Affairs Amended Senate, an act relating to Alaska bidder preference, and that has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, and Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 258, which was signed into law, an act establishing a special investment tax credit and providing for an effective date, Chapter 60, SLA 1984, and that's also been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 202, Finance, establishing the Yakutag Estate Forest under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman. Signing do pass, Adams, Bettesworth, Martin, Grusendorf, and Fritz. Signing no recommendation, Furness, Lindauer, and Jaroff. Senate Bill 202 has no further referral. The Committee on Rules has had Senate Bill 376 amended, relating to power cost assistance under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 376 rules with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, signing do pass, Barnes, Hayes, Liska, and Fuller. Having no recommendation, Phillips and M.M. Miller. Senate Bill 376 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had Senate Bill 532, relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loan associations under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurring by Cowdery, Pestinger, Wente, Kopanen, Ringstad, and Ewling. Senate Bill 532 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 549 rules relating to games of chance and contests of skill under consideration. Reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Grusendorf, and Martin. Having no recommendation, Furness, Jaroff, Fritz, and Duncan. Senate Bill 549 has no further referral. I have no further reports of standing committees, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The Conference Committee, which has had Committee Substitute for House Bill 504, Finance, establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program effective date, and Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 504, Judiciary, with the same title, under consideration, recommends that Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 504, establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program effective date, be adopted. Report was signed by the Senate members, Sackett Chairman and Josephson. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. And by the House members, Hurlburt Chairman and Adams. Davis signed no recommendation. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to bills?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ringstad?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent. We bring up the reconsideration of SB 289 at this time.
Clerk, please read the bill.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, Resources, amended House by the Resources Committee. An act relating to discharge of firearms and hunting and fishing in state parks, marine parks, wildlife preserves, and recreation areas, and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Ringstad?
Mr. Speaker, I'll call the House.
Call on the House. Is there debate? Representative Carson? No, it isn't. Will the House please stand at
exactly what I want?
Shall the House Resource Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 14 nays.
The House Resource Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like in 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the House Resources Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the unauthorized use of telecommunications services. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurring by Barnes, Liska, Hayes, and Bussell. Wente signed do not pass. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee Substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the unauthorized use of telecommunications services.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, maybe to the Judiciary Chair or someone, what is the level of crime for criminal mischief in the third degree? Oh, he's not here. Let's see. Anybody else answer the question? I mean, is it a misdemeanor or felony? Anybody know?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have the statutes covering that, but if memory serves me correctly, it is a misdemeanor.
Representative Lindar.
Debate on the bill, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I realize that this bill is probably going to pass, and I'm certainly going to be voting against it, and I think that members ought to know why. As this stands, This is a special interest bill for a couple of companies that are owned by people outside of Alaska. If a corporate decision is made at one of those corporate headquarters, applying to all states of the Union, it will pick up the subsidiaries here in Alaska. Someone goes around, knocks on the door, and asks some little kid in the afternoon, are you watching cable TV or some other such thing? If you're watching some popular kid's show, and your kid says yes, they're going to be able to go down and they have evidence, I would assume. They will then get some form of criminal complaint signed against you for allegedly picking up an illegal transmission. Many thousands of people in the state of Alaska have purchased in the past de-scramblers and stuff, or they have moved into an apartment where the thing was left on, or they have bought a house where this material is left in, the de-scrambling device, which is very inexpensive to buy. Those of us who have cable from Juneau all have one. If you leave it in the house and you move out, and someone comes around and knocks on the door and your kid's been watching it, they can go down and sign a criminal complaint against you. It doesn't have to be a local policy. It could come out of corporate headquarters for the idea of promoting the encouragement of monies, promoting people to sign up. So they'll be always looking constantly for a few examples, just the way the IRS does. And what we're doing here is setting up the state of Alaska to have a constant stream of people constantly being arrested in order to scare the other people into making payments. And the people who are going to do it are the innocent people, for the most part, people who've just taken over an apartment or house. And given the turnover of housing in this state, that means we're going to be constantly having criminal complaints, a flow of them come in my opinion, for innocent people. And I think this is a terrible bill. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The judiciary CS for this bill provides that if a person owns a de-scrambler prior to the effective date of this act, then that person will not be guilty of a third-degree criminal mischief for the use of the de-scrambler. And I would believe that if that was already installed in a new house or apartment that someone bought, that certainly that device under those circumstances would be one that had been grandfathered in.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question on the last point, if I may, and to anybody here, that because I'm not sure, but if I owned 200,000 of these scramblers today before the effective date of this act, and so my 200,000 scramblers would be legal, then could I, since and I still remain the owner of those, could I lease those out to people?
Are there any Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe that we dealt with leasing those out. I think the statute clearly speaks to those persons who own a descrambler at this time, because those persons that own those descramblers would be grandfathered in under this act.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to respond to a couple of the comments of the previous speakers. Mr. Speaker, it's absolutely true that you would be grandfathered in if you did it at the effective date of the bill. But a year from now, when I move out of an apartment here, or one of you moves out of the apartment here, or moves out of a house here, and somebody else moves in, and someone comes along knocking on the door, and your kid answers and says, yes, I've been watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or some other thing on television, you're going to get criminal complaint, because they're going to be constantly looking for examples they can put in the paper in order to encourage people to sign up and pay the money. This in no way protects the innocent citizen who has just moved into a house or an apartment. These people are, we're going to have to either constantly notify them at public expense, or we're going to have to put a criminal penalty for someone who sets up a landlord who leaves and who sets up the next person who comes in, because this kind of thing could go on forever. And you know these outside companies will have as a corporate policy to do this. And for those of you from Anchorage, where we really have not had cable, thanks to our friends at the APUC until recently, I don't think we'll realize the pervasive effect it has on the families where it's available. Almost everybody in Juneau, it's my understanding, is on that cable system, and the same with places such as Cordova and Sitka, where I believe they have substantial systems, Bethel also. There are going to be constant arrests in every one of those communities. What are we doing here? For whose purpose? To help enrich a handful of people who got into the APUC and a handful of representatives. That's a terrible reason to do this.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the previous speaker is wrong. What we're doing here is preventing an industry, or we're preventing people in this state from creating an industry that's an illegal industry for selling these de-scramblers just to steal the signal. And I'm in favor of the legislation. Those who have them now are grandfathered in. They don't have to worry about any being arrested. They don't have to worry about going to jail. Little children don't have to be worried about being thrown in prison for watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What we're doing is sending a message to those people who have 250 of these units, who are selling them for the sole purpose of stealing the signal. And that stealing is a crime, and they should be punished for it. That's all this does. We're not going to arrest anybody's children.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Judiciary Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 504 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
26 yeas, 13 nays.
The House Judiciary Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 504 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar. Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give my notes for reconsideration for 504. Please.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Schultz for his vote on Senate Bill 504. Representative Sun.
Yeah, can we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Representative Sun.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great honor today to introduce to the body here a friend of mine, my constituents, but most important, my business partner from Ketchikan, Mr. Ken Dole, here in Gallery B.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease.
In place.
You haven't read the bill yet.
No.
Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 525, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to unemployment insurance and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches three new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Furness, Pestinger, and Cowdery, having no recommendation, Kopanen and Ringsted. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, Finance, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettesworth, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jaroff, Hurlburt, and Fritz. Martin signed, do pass if amended. Lindauer signed, no recommendation. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. Page one, lines 1 through 15. Delete section...
It's page 8, isn't it?
Page 8, excuse me, lines 1 through 15. Section 6, delete lines 1 through 15 on page 8.
Representative Martin.
So, Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to take it to Lisby, so I'd like to go into a little history of our workers' comp program. 3 years ago, or actually 4 years ago, under the leadership of the minority that was in the majority, we were really concerned with the trend that we were setting with unemployment compensation. And there was an honest effort to change it so that the people who were in the lower bracket of the economic levels were getting some kind of minimal compensation while unemployed. These was custodial labor workers, those that were in employment status, a gas station attendant, and so on. So we wanted to give them definitely a wage in which they would really not be starving once they were unemployed through no fault of their own. And we raised those limits, justifiably so, while they were looking for new employment. The other thing that was done was to adjust the unemployment rate of the high-salary employees or wage owners so that they were not being encouraged to stay off work, that they were not being encouraged to take long vacation in the Southern 49 or in Hawaii. That was the criticism 3 years ago.
And we adjusted that rate up to the bracket of 16,000. Now, what has been done, and very little, if any, discussion on it, is that the department has decided that maybe we should jump this up to 20,000 with the new level of income for unemployment. This would mean almost $1,000 a month for those who are in the higher brackets, and therefore start the same trend again, where this year here for the first time, or actually last year it began, the premiums garnered from the employers with contributions from the state were equaling the outflow of unemployment. And I think that was our efforts to have it succeed by this year. Now suddenly we see the department with a new advocacy, a new philosophy, try to change this around again. And we're going to find ourselves with the same old problem of 3 years ago, where premiums are going to have to be increased by employers and by the state and by the individual to make up for the compensation that people are desiring when they willfully, in most cases, in these higher brackets, stay out of employment. And I think that it's working well right now. There's been no major advocacy to add this on except for the department itself. And I think that we successfully adjusted the problem in the past so that this year it has proven itself and we should leave it alone and not allow this new higher bracket of unemployment to be inserted. And I'd like to ask that the unanimously consent for this amendment. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt an amendment number one to the House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 525? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
4 yeas, 34 nays.
House has failed to adopt amendment number one. Clerk, have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to ask committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 Finance be considered engrossed in its third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to unemployment insurance and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
The House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 525 has passed the House. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to roll call vote on passing the House Committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 525 Finance be considered roll call vote on the several effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 532 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loan associations and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurring by Cowdery, Pestinger, Wente, Kopanen, Ringsted, and Euling. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 532 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 532 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loan associations and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for it? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 532 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Malone?
Same speaker from no to yes.
Mr. Malone from no to yes. Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 532 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent to roll call vote on passing Senate Bill 532 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm going to ask the clerk to read. Representative Szymanski.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote, Senate Bill 532.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Szymanski for his vote on Senate Bill 532. I'm going to ask the clerk to read all the citations appearing on today's calendar, and then we'll move them as one vote. Representative Clarkson, House, please stand at ease. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 525, and I'd like to ask unanimous consent that it be brought up at this time.
Senate Bill 525. Representative Davis has served notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 525. Is there objection to the motion that it be brought up at this time?
Representative Speaker, Bryan? I have no objection.
Okay, without objection, the bill is back before us in third reading under reconsideration. Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to unemployment insurance and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
The House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent to roll call vote on pass the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute Senate Bill 525 finance be considered the roll call vote on several effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so order. Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration of House Bill 504 be brought. Senate Bill 504, I'm sorry.
Is there objection? Hearing none, will the clerk please read Senate Bill 504, which is before us in third reading under reconsideration.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the unauthorized use of telecommunications services.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Representative Ringstad, clerk, please open the roll. Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 14 nays.
The House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 504 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the citations appearing on today's calendar?
Okay. Citation honoring Fran Rusk by Representative Fuller and Senator Ferguson. Citation honoring the Bartlett Bears track team by Representatives Barnes, Furness, Hayes, Martin, Szymanski, and Pestinger. Citation honoring Dwayne Toth by Senator Moss and Representative Schultz. Citation honoring Eric Rested by Senator Kurtula, Vic Fisher, and Representatives Larson, Kopanen, Szymanski, and Locker. Citation honoring Joe Clausen by Senators Halford, Sturgiluski, Kelly, Representatives Liska, Phillips, Furness, and Barnes. Citation honoring Chugiak Volunteer Fire Department by Senator Halford, Kelly, Vic Fisher, and Josephson, Representatives Liska and Phillips. Citation honoring Jamie Lockhart by Senator Eliason and Josephson and Representative Grusendorf. Citation in memoriam Henry Hedberg by Senators Josephson, Kurtula, Vic Fisher, Ray, Halford, Sturgiluski, Fahrenkamp, Representatives Phillips, Clarkson, Hayes, Kopanen, Szymanski, and Furness.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citations appearing on today's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citations are approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Bishop Miller?
Barnes.
Oh,
Barnes.
That's me, sorry.
Oh, okay.
We don't even look alike.
No, we shouldn't. People are different.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to deal with two bills in the limbo file. The first one will be committee substitute for House Bill 504, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the adoption of the Conference Committee report on House Bill 504, thus adopting Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 504. I recommend the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill and the report.
The Conference Committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 504 Finance, establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program effective date, and Senate Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 504 Judiciary, same title, under consideration, recommends that Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 504, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program effective date, be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Sackett Chairman and Josephson, and Senator Ray signed no recommendation. By the House members, it was signed by Hurlburt Chairman and Adams, and then Representative Davis signed no recommendation.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if someone kindly could describe the differences from the Conference Committee than what the House version was.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only difference is on page 3, the House version, except on page 3, it dropped the total permissive loan from $10,000 to $7,500. That's the only difference in the House for the Conference Committee report.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Clarkson? House, please stand at ease. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the Conference Committee substitute? Restated. The question is, shall the Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 504 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, please open the roll. Representative Copeland. Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 504 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 504 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
And we're going to take up committee substitute for House Bill 511 Finance, an act making appropriation for the operation and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the adoption of the Conference Committee report on House Bill 511, thus adopting Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 511. Recommend the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the report.
The Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 511 Finance, making appropriations and capital expenses of state government effective date, and Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 511 Finance, amended Senate, same title, under consideration, recommends that Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 511, an act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date, be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Sackett Chairman, Bennett, and Vic Fisher. By the House members, Adams Chairman, and Bettesworth. Representative Duncan signed no recommendation.
Representative Davis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. It appears that during the at ease, we had a few people walk off the floor, so I'll place a call on the House. Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to make just a few comments on this motion prior to the vote. The Conference Committee report, if people will note, I signed a Conference Committee report with a no recommendation. Mr. Speaker, I did that because I wanted to further evaluate the bill that we worked on in Conference Committee along with other legislation that's passing. At this time, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote in favor of the adoption of the Commerce Committee report on 511. I want to give my reasons why. I think there are some problems with the operating budget. However, on the whole, I think we've done a fairly good job of addressing the needs of the state. For example, Mr. Speaker, I was concerned as the Commerce Committee was operating and as the House budget was passed that the Department of Commerce was being unduly hit on their reorganization, that the areas that called advocacy was being stricken from the House budget, and that was a position that the Conference Committee might take. However, under final action that the Commerce Committee took, developed a compromise that I think, although it's not as good as I would like, I think it's a compromise that the Department can live with, that the administration can live with, and that they can carry on that function. In the area, another area of the budget, the division of, or the Office of Management and Budget, at one time, there was a serious cut in the number of positions that they were going to be allowed. In fact, at one time, the Commerce Committee had adopted a position. Five members of the Commerce Committee had adopted a position. I did not vote in favor of that. But five members had adopted a position cutting 34 positions from OMB. I felt that that was not justified. I didn't hear any rational, any real reasons for the cut, and opposed that cut. On final analysis, as we closed the budget out yesterday, those positions were reinstated, so OMB is back to level funding, almost a level funding that the governor had recommended, something like 95% of what he wanted. I was also concerned, Mr. Speaker, about the certain areas of the budget where it appears that we're heading towards contracting out a lot of the functions of, for example, fish and game and natural resources. And I know that the public employee associations around the state have concern about that contracting out. I still have that concern. It's still being done. I only bring that to your attention because I think that that will want to be looked at very carefully in future years. I can understand the desires of representatives from various areas of the state to do that. However, it does have an impact on the public employees associations and perhaps on their negotiated contracts, and we should look very closely at that. There are some, what I think, some improvements in the budget over what could have come out, Mr. Speaker, and I also want to mention those areas. One of them is in the level of education funding. I'm not pleased with the level. I don't think we met our commitment. We should have funded it at higher than we did fund. As you recall, the bill we passed yesterday reduced the increase to 4%. It should have been 5.39% according to the statute we passed last year. So I think we fell short in that area. However, we did much better than what we could have done in Conference Committee. What we ended up doing was taking the high number. The House had a number of 486. The Senate was down into 470s. We took the high number, so we maximized our position in the Commerce Committee on educational funding, and I think that was a good move. I wish it would have been higher. It wasn't possible to get a higher figure, but we took the highest number possible. In the area of revenue sharing, Speaker, for the first time in a couple years now, we're full funding revenue sharing. The House budget went in with a lower number, about $2.5 million lower. In the compromise that came out of the Conference Committee, we took the higher number. We are now full funding revenue sharing, so that funnels more money back to the local communities to allow them to expand or to continue needed programs and services. That, Mr. Speaker, was also, I think, a very positive step that the Conference Committee took. The third area was in the area of municipal assistance. And, of course, this has been an ongoing battle for a number of years as to what level we are going to fund municipal assistance. The House budget had funded it at about $70 million. The Senate budget, following the statute, that was enacted several years ago when we repealed the gross business license tax, following that statute, had funded it at a level of about $90 million. I would have preferred that we took the $90 million. We didn't. We took slightly more than $80 million, but I think it was a reasonable compromise. It did increase the amount of money that local municipalities were going to receive over what the House was originally advocating, and I think, again, those local municipalities need and deserve that money, and it can be well used on various programs around the state. So all in all, by the adopting of those figures, the higher numbers, we have increased the amount of money over what the House would have originally given municipalities. We've increased the amount of money that they're getting by about $12.5 million on direct pass-through grants through municipal assistance and revenue sharing. And I believe, Mr. Speaker, that was a very positive step that the Commerce Committee took. Weighing those, I think I come down on the side of supporting the bill. There are a couple of other concerns I have. One of those concerns centered around the process that was used in the Commerce Committee, and of course, We can debate that as long as we want to, and some will say it was a good process, some will say it wasn't a good process. We closed the budget out. I guess that's what's important. However, I would prefer that we spend more time and would have liked to have spent more time in the conference committee debating some of the issues, debating some of the numbers that were being proposed, perhaps receiving more testimony from departments and from the administration. The chairman of the committee from the other body and our chairman decided to do it differently, and that was their decision. I have some concerns with that process and hope that that process can be improved in future years. I believe it is too close the way it's operating now, but again, perhaps that's something that can be worked on and improved in future years. The final area where I have a concern, Mr. Speaker, is the area that I mentioned yesterday on the floor when we passed the capital budget, House Bill 190. I believe we're dangerously close to spending more money than we have available for appropriation. In fact, I had figures that showed that that's what was going to happen. The finance chairman said, no, that's not going to happen. He had figures that showed we were going to have, I think it was $11 million or $18 million left out of $4 billion. We weren't going to spend $18 million, which to me means nothing. I mean, if you only leave $18 million out of $4 billion, you'd spend everything. So I'm concerned about that. No one knows what the bottom line is going to be yet, so I don't think there's any debate, real debate, between me and the finance chairman, or probably me and you, Mr. Speaker, over the fact that we are going to spend every dime we've got. That's what's going to happen. That concerns me, and I think it concerns other members of this body. We're dangerously close to going into the red. Mr. Speaker, I voted against the capital budget yesterday because of that problem. Today, though, I'm going to vote for the operating budget. I don't believe that the place that you reduce and cut back money is in the operating budget. It's already been held back to a great extent. We haven't funded municipal assistance quite as high as we should have. We have taken some cuts in other programs to reduce spending, programs where I think the funding should have been higher. So this is not the area to cut back. We should be reducing spending, and we should be doing it on a responsible basis. I don't think you can further reduce it in the operating budget. I think where you reduce it is in some of those capital projects that we've been sending up to the governor's office on a regular basis, some of those capital projects that won't be going out to the public for a long, long time or perhaps ever. And that's the area that we should have been looking at for reducing. So despite the fact I believe we're dangerously close to overspending, this is not the area to cut back. So weighing everything, looking at the good points as they offset the bad points, looking at where we're at on spending and where we should have reduced instead of in the operating budget, Mr. Speaker, I am going to end up supporting and voting for the motion. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few brief comments in regard to what the previous speaker has had to say. First of all, I think it is appropriate that we commend our finance chairman who has served this body well. He has served this body well not only this year but in the past, and I believe that the way he has served us with dignity and with honor among all is reflected in the comments of the last speaker in his agreements on what our finance chairman has done with this budget. But beyond that, he speaks of over-expenditure, under-expenditure, and where he feels that the cut should or should not be made. And certainly, we respect his opinion. And it is that because we all have differing opinions on what should be priorities and what should not be. And certainly, the economic viability and well-being of this state, I think it should be considered against that of the operating budget where we continue to inflate the state bureaucracy at the expense of the development of our roads, harbors, sewer and water, all the things that are very necessities of life for the people that we serve in this great state. And so with those brief comments, I again applaud our finance chairman and say, job well done.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the conference committee substitute for House Bill 511 pass the House? Call has been satisfied. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 511 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage. Conference Committee substitute House Bill 511 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move that it be the sense of this House that the contents of Senate Bill 78 should pass the House.
Object.
Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we'll try it one more time. At least one more time. And, Mr. Speaker, there should never even be any question about this being procedural, because we're not telling the members that they even have to pass Senate Bill 78. If they can figure some other way to get the contents of that bill to this body, power to them. We're just saying that it's the sense of this House, and it's the sense of each member voting yes, that the contents of that bill should pass the House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
President Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, it still wobbles like a duck, squawks like a duck, and is a duck.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller.
That duck is going to be looked at by every member of this, or every person out there in the great beyond that's interested in this legislation.
Question is, shall it be the sense of the House that the contents of Senate Bill 78 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 21 nays.
The motion has failed to pass the House. Further unfinished business? Announcements? Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to remind the members of the Budget and Audit Committee that there will be a meeting at 12 o'clock noon. You'll have time to get some lunch, and we'll get that over with before we adjourn.
And we will be recessing until 5 o'clock. Representative Miller.
My understanding is that 5 o'clock session will be not a technical session, but a session with bills to consider.
That's the present plan. That's yeah. Contemplated.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, my only request on that is that you, and the Rules Chair and yourself, get the proposed calendar right to us as early as possible, because we would like
Thank
to
you.
Have a little warning on that.
In any event, for reasons beyond our control, the necessity for the full body to be here becomes unnecessary, we will let you know as soon as we can. Representative Fuller.
We go back to introduction.
Without objection, we turn to introduction to guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have two good friends of mine from Nome, Kevin Michael and his family. I think your wife with you here? Okay, I didn't see. Okay. Stand up, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wente.
Brief at ease, please.
House, please. Stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Will the House please come back to order? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Announced that there will be a House Democratic caucus at 1:30 p.m. this afternoon.
Further announcements, Representative Szymanski.
I don't have an announcement, but I'd like to bring up this time committee substitute for Senate Bill 470 under reconsideration.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 470 rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to insurance.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 470 pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 470 has passed the House on reconsideration. Further business? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 5 p.m.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 5 p.m. Let the record show that we've reconvened the session at 5:10 p.m. Members present are Representative Cowdery, Representative M.W. Miller, Representative Larson, Representative Furness, Representative Fritz, Minority Leader Representative M.M. Miller, Representative Barnes, Majority Leader, Sergeant of Arms, and the Chief Clerk and her staff. Also, Representative Liska, and there is a House page sitting at the back guarding the door. We need to move back up the daily order of business to messages from the other body, then go down through the order of business to introduction of citations and resolutions. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move back up the daily order of business to messages from the other body.
Without objection, will the clerk please read messages from the other body?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has approved the citation honoring Daisy Tunnel by Senator Sackett, Ray, and Curtula, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 255 rules, thus passing House committee substitute for Senate Bill 255 finance, payment of attorney services and expenses for indigent criminal defendants prosecuted by municipalities effective date. The Senate adopted the conference committee report with limited powers of free conference on Senate Bill 519 and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 519 Finance, thus adopting Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 519 relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date. The Senate adopted the conference committee report on Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Finance and Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 Judiciary, thus adopting Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 504 establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program effective date. The Senate adopted the conference committee report with limited powers of free conference on committee substitute for House Bill 511 Finance and Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 511 Finance amended Senate, thus adopting conference committee substitute for House Bill 511, appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government effective date. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill 707 Finance, namely Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 707 Finance amended Senate, lobbying effective date. The President appointed a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bill. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, Senator Paul Fisher, Senator Fakes. The House members on that committee are Representative Bettesworth, Kopanen, and Furness. The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 464, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act permitting the establishment of horizontal property regimes for mobile homes.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 464 is referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 Resources relating to a statewide system of trails under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 Resources with the same title, and it is reported back as follows. The report was signed by Mr. Ringsted, co-chairman, signing Dupass, Larson, Liska, and Cowdery. Signing no recommendation, Schultz and Ringsted. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 411 Resources relating to preferential use of Alaska agricultural products under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Ringsted, co-chairman, concurring by Schultz, Larson, Liska, Cowdery, and Ringsted. Senate Bill 411 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The Select Committee on Legislative Ethics report, dated May 28, 1984. Mr. Speaker, the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics has selected Sherry Jacobus as the public member of the committee and recommends that her selection be ratified. This is signed by the House members, Barnes Chairman, Furness, and it just says Mike Miller.
M.M. Miller.
I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Bernard L. Warren by Representatives Furness and Barnes. Citation honoring Mrs. Elizabeth Baines by Representative Fuller and Senator Ferguson. Citation honoring Hugh Malone by Representatives M.M. Miller and Hayes. And Vasca. And Furness.
I believe we'd like to show all other members of the House.
And all other members of the House.
Do you want to move that? Well, that's okay. The citation for Hugh Malone. All right.
Sure. You want it on the calendar?
Yeah. Bring it up special order business or something.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker. Yeah.
Is there further business to come before the body? If not, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 30th, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.